In your Bibles, please, for our second reading, our Old Testament reading, to the prophecy of Habakkuk. I was speaking to someone about this book earlier this week, and they said, I don't know how to pronounce it. Well, you can say Habakkuk, you can say Habakkuk, or you can try to get a little closer to the original and say Habakkuk. I don't care how you pronounce it, make sure you read it. Make sure you profit from it, because it's God's word, right? Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore, the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Behold ye among the heathen in regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards, and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. And they shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. And they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this his power unto his God. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment, and O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he, and makest men as the fishes of the sea, as the creeping things that have no ruler over them. They take up all of them with the angle, they catch them in their net, and gather them in their drag, wherefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they sacrifice unto their net, and burn incense unto their drag, because by them their portion is fat, and their meat plenteous. Shall they therefore empty their net, and not spare continually to slay the nations? May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Well, we have a new book, the prophet Habakkuk, whose name means embracing. Other than the internal clues of the book itself, there is nothing really known about the prophet. There are some indications, some have inferred from chapter 3, that he was a Levite. All right, he would have been a Levite because he was one of those that wrote songs, if you will. And we remember that the Levites, the sons of Korah and others like them, wrote songs for the inclusion of worship in the temple. His language is classic prophetic style, with this brevity of statement which speaks of great themes, large terms, and boiled down to absolute and stark expression, which carries with it a particular urgency. And then note also, the prophet seems to have some difficulty with the revelation that he has received. There's a conversation, there's three different speakings in this first chapter. First Habakkuk speaks, then the Lord speaks to him, and then Habakkuk speaks back, right? And we're going to see this in this conversational style. We're going to get to know the heart of the prophet a little bit. So seeing that we have no knowledge of Habakkuk, his name does not assist us in the date of writing. There are, however, various considerations. First of all, the Lord is about to or is presently raising up the Chaldeans as a world power, such that they will be the instrument of his judgment upon his people. This helps us with the timing a bit, right? So this takes us into the 7th century, probably late in the 7th century. Then there's also wholesale oppression from the nobility of the land toward the poor. So this would place this after the death of Josiah, and so concludes both Dr. Archer and Dr. Young. So a date of maybe 605, 608, 610 BC, something like that. The purpose of Habakkuk is that it is an answer to prayer. It's a comfort in the face of the Chaldeans, and it's a poem of lyric praise for the Lord's great power and deliverance. All right, so the outline then, we have chapter 1 through chapter 2, to the end of chapter 2. We have the problems of faith, is how one commentator put it. I think that's decent. Habakkuk is concerned about the people of God, and so he expresses those concerns, and yet he has this overarching faith in God that will not... Or that will prevent him from charging God foolishly, although he will be very forward to ask the Lord particular questions. So we learn from the prophet, don't we, that there are times where we may not understand what God is doing. We may not be able to put that together. This may seem out of character, yet we come to God asking for his illumination, even in such times as that. We might suffer loss. Habakkuk has something revealed to him that is going to be the loss of losses, the loss of the kingdom and the state of the southern kingdom. And what will Habakkuk do in response to that? Well, as you might imagine, as a faithful Jewish prophet, he has questions. And what does he do? He asks the Lord those questions. Okay? So then in chapter 3, all of the doubts are settled, and we have this prayer of faith and unshakable trust. Past judgments of the Lord are a sure token for future faithfulness, and the believer's joy is in God alone, assured of vindication by God's holiness. And so the memorable outline, remember how we try to do that with that with every book. Let me give you 3 P's. Prayer, perplexity, and praise. That's how the book moves through, right? Prayer, perplexity, and praise. All right, so the first section then is verses 1 through 4. And in 1 through 4, there is the prayer and lament of the prophet. The word burden, na'um, is often used for the prophetic message. It's used in that way because it is something to be borne or carried to the people of God. The Lord has pushed a burden upon Habakkuk that he must take to the people of God. So it's a burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. And then notice, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear, even cry out to thee of violence and thou wilt not save? All I see is iniquity, he says. There's violence and grievous. There's grievance, there's spoiling, there's strife, there's contention. The law is ignored, injustice reigns, and the wicked have the upper hand. Lord, why is all of that? Why is there all of this difficulty in Jerusalem and in Judah? Lord, I cry out, I pray unto thee, and I don't see any relief. And so notice, not only do we have the prayer on behalf of the nation, but also a prayer on behalf of himself. How is it that I see no relief? When, Lord, wilt thou rise up faithfully and do what thou hast promised? All right, so then in verse 5, the Lord answers. And this will take us down through verse 11. Well, the answer is not what Habakkuk was looking for. Right? Behold ye among the heathen and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. It's not a happy word that the Lord has for his prophet. I'm raising up the Chaldeans, and they're going to run through the land like you've never seen. They are bitter and hasty. They are terrible and dreadful. They will possess the land, although it is not theirs. They are their own counselors. They do not consult the Lord, in other words. That which is good comes out of their own heart. That which they think is good, it comes out of their own heart. Right? That's what he means when he says, let's see, how is it? Oh yeah, their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. If you want to know what they believe is right, they'll tell you it comes out of their own heart. That's fearful. There is no natural restraint on them. There is no godly restraint on them. They're going to do whatever it is they think is right. Their horses are like leopards. They're more fierce than the evening wolves. They shall come from afar, but not with trouble. They shall come as the eagle. They will fly swiftly, in other words. They shall come for violence, and their destruction shall be like the sand. It'll be everywhere, just like sand gets into everything. In the end, he shall become more rapacious and violent, because he will pass over all reason and he will assure himself that what he's doing is right. He's going to attribute all of his power and victory to his own God. And remember, with regard to Nebuchadnezzar, that means to himself. Right? So he's going to have every bit of conquering that he wants. It's going to make him overtly confident in his own judgment and in his own divinity. He's going to be unstoppable. There will be no outward and no inward restraint to what he's going to do. Well, as you might imagine, that's a very difficult word. Let me say it this way, however. This is the answer to Habakkuk's prayer. This is the answer to his prayer. He's asking that the Lord would remove from Judah injustice, violence, and oppression. And the Lord says, you asked for it, I'm going to give it to you. You didn't know it would be so severe a means, but it will come, and it will have its due fruit. Let's remember this about ourselves, brothers and sisters. We don't change easily. We don't change easily. We ask the Lord for relief from something because why? Because we want to go back to the status quo. We ask the Lord for relief from oppression. Why? Because it's uncomfortable and we don't like discomfort. All those are the wrong reasons. No, Habakkuk comes to the Lord and he says, Lord, this has gone too far. The Lord says, I agree. Here's the remedy. The bitter and hasty nation, the Chaldeans. This is the means of reformation. Whenever there is great reformation in church, in state, in societies, it often comes at great cost, does it not? Don't we have this saying in our toolbox as Christians? Don't we say the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church? Very often when we pray that the Lord would reform our churches and reform the society around us, that judgment would begin at the house of God and then spill out into the world around us, one of the things we have to remember we might be asking for is something like the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation, to come and to humble us, that we can be reformed. And so don't think of the Lord as sparring with Habakkuk here. Think of him as answering him. Right? Okay, so now Habakkuk's going to respond in verse 12. What's his response? I don't understand. Lord, you are of purer eyes than to behold iniquity and cannot dwell with sin. How can you raise up a nation like this to do your work for you? That's, in essence, his response. You know what's going to happen, Lord. He's going to do exactly what you said. He's going to run over all the world. He's going to treat the world like a lake to be fished out. And he's going to gather it all up to himself. And then you know what he's going to do, Lord? Listen, Lord, listen to what he's going to do. As if the Lord doesn't know. He's going to sacrifice to his net. He's going to take the credit for himself. He doesn't yet know. Habakkuk doesn't yet know that the Lord has already taken that into stride. And he's going to make Nebuchadnezzar eat grass like an ox. And then he's going to bring down their power, and all the nations of the east will come and feast themselves upon him. We'll find this out later in the book. But Habakkuk here has this dialogue going on with the Lord. He's incredulous that the Lord would move in this way. No, Lord, this is not exactly what I was asking for. What I was asking for is suddenly, at the snap of your fingers, we could start doing good instead of evil. And the Lord says, this is how we do that. This is how we reform. And so what does this do for us as the people of God? How do we make use of this first chapter and going on into the second chapter this afternoon? Remember, prayer, perplexity, and praise. The first thing is this. The farther we go down the path toward sin, or maybe I should say it this way, the more we imbibe in sin and temptation, the longer the way back. We often think that we can just go down the road a ways and then snap and we're back to where we belong. It doesn't go like that, brothers and sisters. Sin is a hard master, is how the scriptures put it. And that hard master will not give up. And the enemy of your souls does not give up without a fight. And the Lord will pursue, and he will chastise. And he will, through that fruit of chastisement, bring that holiness. But no chastisement for the moment seemeth to be joyous but grievous. It's always going to be like that. And it's the lie of the enemy of your souls that says you can sin with impunity and the way back is easy. It wasn't here, and it won't be for us also. So think on that the next time you're tempted. Think on that the next time you roll over or are weak in the face of temptation. Think on that like our confession of faith says in 5:5, when it seems like the Lord is not there to support you. Think on that and call upon him again. And ask for strength again. But then the second thing that we learn from this passage is what? That the Lord doesn't give up on his people. No matter how far down the road they go. Your Savior has plumbed the depths of the wrath of God and come out to be your Savior. To save you from the depths of sin. No matter how far down you've gone, if you belong to him. Call upon his name, and he will be there to answer. He may be silent for a time while you learn to abhor your own corruptions, but he will be there at the right time to draw you back and comfort you and to give you sanctification, to give you holiness. He will be. So that's what Habakkuk chapter 1 teaches us. Let's stand and continue.